What's going on, everybody? Daryl Frater, the club CEO here, and we have another amazing episode of the My DJ Story podcast brought to you by The Club App, the number one online community for DJs where you can stream for free and not get cut off. Today, we have my brother, Zafron, here to tell us his DJ story. Can you introduce yourself to the people, who you are and where you're from?
Yeah, what's up, y'all? I am from California. I had a chance to live all over the U.S. With work and travel the globe, but California native. My name is Sabir. I go by Sabir, and right now I'm in LA.
Awesome, brother. Super excited to have you on the podcast, man. And how are we doing on this podcast? We want to hear your story of how you got into the DJ game and just walk us through your story from the beginning to where you are today. Just tell us, you know, what sparked your interest into becoming a DJ?
Yeah, I believe everybody's story is unique. And music has just been a big part of my life. And I had a blessing of having an older sister that was really into 80s music. And that's what got me into like thinking more about beats and like the percussions of songs. And as a kid, man, I would just make playlists and CDs for every occasion. It could be a four-year-old birthday party. It could be my grandma's birthday party. It could be a barbecue. I was always making the playlists, right? And it just came kind of natural to me. And I loved all kinds of genres of music. I did that in college too. I bought these little turntables, these cheap ass Serato turntables. You could barely do anything, but I would mess around with them and not really take it seriously. But my friends would call me DJ Saber, a play on my name. And, you know, I got to be known as that, even though I wasn't really DJing at all. And then fast forward college, I'm old as hell. I'm 36. So hopefully this will be inspiring to
you. You're not old, man. You're not old.
No, it's all relative. But there's always been a voice in my head of you got to be in music. I went down this business management MBA route in my career, being a management consultant, very conventional, kind of boring. And always music always brought me back to feeling happy, feeling centered. I would travel a lot for work, and I would always, the first thing I would do is check out what concert venues and what concerts are playing in whatever city I was traveling to. I got this great job in San Francisco. I was working long hours, and I was like, I need an outlet. This was 3 years ago, and about two years ago. And I was in San Francisco, and I stumbled upon this club that is pretty well known. It was a random Thursday night. The downstairs has this awesome, elaborate DJ setup, and usually, you know, pretty big DJs play there. But there were all these like beginners playing and like showcasing. And it turned out to be a school. It turned out to be a nonprofit school called the Blue Bear School in San Francisco. And they offer DJ classes. So I was like, I'm signing up. And so for two nights, and this was a blessing. And a lot of people didn't even know DJ schools exist, but they're blowing up. Not all of them are, a lot of them are expensive, but you can find nonprofits that are doing it. And what was cool about this is we were meeting up twice a week and for 2 hours, and we would just practice on the CDJs, you know, $8,000 system, which is not easy to get your hands on if you're beginning. And so it was a great way to kind of understand the club scene and also be a performer, how to read a crowd, all of that stuff that came together. You know, it gets the nerves out a little bit because there is a little bit of that, you know. You have a vision of like all the best DJs and you want to be them right away. You want to be as good as them. So, but it's a progress. So building that community of classmates and practicing was great. So, that was kind of the beginning.
That's super awesome, man. It seems like, you know, you had a great career prior to jumping into DJs and you decided, you know, music has always been in your life and you just can't stay away from it. So you went and took this class and you just started to hit the ground running. So I'm super excited to hear, you know, about kind of your process and like, how did you, you know, go about kind of looking at your DJing career as something, you know, that's shifted from just being a hobby to something that you're using to do gigs and to doing, I don't know if you've done any paid events as of yet, but just talk to how you kind of move into your DJ career and how you see it.
Yeah. And so, you know, everybody's, you know, luckily for me, I had a primary source of income in my day job. It was soul sucking, but it paid for my hobbies, right? So I suggest anyone that's getting into it, it's a long process. It's kind of a, you know, it's a grueling process. The way I kind of started was playing for free everywhere I could. Even, you know, Tuesdays at 4 p.m. if I had to, like there was nobody there. I would take these gigs to practice to get my name out there. And what ended up happening is sometimes a DJ at a prime spot would have to cancel for whatever reason. And then they would call me to come in and, you know, last minute. And then I would, whatever venue, and I would play. And sometimes I'd get paid. Sometimes I'd just get free drinks, which could be more than, you know, the drinks add up. So sometimes it can work out. But I also used my network. So I was in the tech industry, Google, Facebook, all these companies have fat ass parties, like big ass parties. And I kind of got in through networking and was able to get paid for a couple smaller gigs around the city. So that's been kind of the gradual process. And I've started to doing streaming, which has not been paying me, but I'm still building my brand and my practice. Yep.
Wow, that's awesome, man. You gave some amazing insight on kind of the ins and outs of the opportunities that are out there, you know, by looking at, you know, where the opportunities are that no one's are looking at. That's super great. And, you know, you're able to network with these big tech companies and being able to, you know, meet cool people. And who knows, just being in these unique environments, who you might meet and what they might lead to. So I'm super excited to hear, you know, how your story progresses from here. You know, I would love to hear like some advice that you have for people that, you know, don't know about these different opportunities, and just walk us through, you know, how you went about acquiring these opportunities and how other people can kind of follow your footsteps.
Yeah. You know, DJs don't have to be just in a club. They don't, there's so many, all these like fancy apartment complexes that have built up in all these cities. They have these common areas. I was playing for friends' house parties. And then a friend at that party would say, hey, can you do this? Can you play at this party? And I'll pay you. Actually, it was kind of hard to like come up with pricing because some of these were my friends and friends and friends. So it really depends on you, like how, you know your value, but that you got to start somewhere. And I think the organic way of networking and showcasing your skills will speak for themselves, and then go about that way is one. And then the other thing is just do as many gigs as you can, free or not, if you're able to.
Great advice. And doing the free great gigs are really great because it shows people that you're able to do the job well. And it's like trying before they buy. And if they like you in the free gig, then it's very likely that they'll be able to trust that you'll deliver a proper, you know, event for them in the real thing. So don't be afraid to put yourself out there. I know sometimes there's the stigma, well, I don't want to do anything for free,
right?
Especially for those that have already started getting paid. They feel like they can't go back to get to doing free gigs. But if the demand is there and you need to do it for free and it's something that is going to get you more opportunities, why not? And do what Sabir did, do what he's doing, and continue to put yourself out there for opportunities that can lead to bigger and better opportunities for you and your brand. I would love to talk about, you know, your DJ name and just how you got it and how does that tie into your brand?
Very good question. And let me preface that. Yeah, my story is a little bit more about getting started and getting in that journey versus if you're already been, you know, in the game for a long time. I think online presence is really important. Keep sending out mixes, keep showcasing your skills, YouTube, Mixcloud, SoundCloud, everything you can to get it out there is really important right now. Saffron, so I'm Indian, and saffron is a spice, and it's the most expensive thing on earth. It's more expensive than gold, actually. And I'm not fancy, but I thought, okay, it's a rare gem. It comes from my roots, so saffron just kind of came out. This is kind of douchey too, but when I was younger and better looking, a couple of friends used to call me Zac Efron lookalike. I look like nothing like him now. But that also kind of meshed in. So it was just maybe subconsciously, but that's where it came about. I didn't want to have DJ in front because I also want to create my own content. So I don't want to have the misnomer that I'm only a DJ, but I like throwing in my own mixes. I actually edit some hip hop songs. I edit some of the house songs in Ableton. So I learned Ableton, which is a great tool to kind of make the songs your own and put your own spin. It does take a little bit, a lot of learning, but it's an amazing, fun skill to get reacquainted with your own music. Like sometimes it gets boring listening to the same songs over and over. So you can add your own spin on it. It kind of puts a fresh remix, and it amplifies the experience for music for you. So
that's super awesome, man. I hear some DJs doing that, but I don't hear enough DJs doing it. And I feel like if more DJs do that, it would be much more unique and actually be a differentiator that helps you stand out in the crowd. When people hear your music, it sounds much different. But you have to, you know, really be skillful because the audience sometimes do love the way that those songs are originally put. So it takes an art, it takes skills to be able to utilize it effectively. But based on how you're telling me this, I'm sure that you do it very well and are using it to enhance your ability to rock the crowd. So great for putting that out there. You know, I would love to hear, you know, what do you love the most about being a DJ?
My mom always said, it's not too late to be a doctor. You can still go to med school. You can still be a doctor. You can still cure people. I think, you know, I'm an MBA nerd. I went that route. I can't put a bandaid on you if I tried. But DJs are storytellers. I think they're therapists in their own way. People go to places to escape, to have a good time. I think good, you know, you could be at a top 40 club and that's fine. That's like one style, but my personal style is, and it's more house music. It's taking you through a journey. You know, I'm very deliberate with the kinds of songs I start with and end with and the energy levels. And I can see the expression on people's face, the three people that are actually listening and not drunk. Like I can see that they're really like in it and I'm taking them on in a different place. And, you know, music has healing powers. It's scientific. So that's why purely to bring joy to people. And it also, you know, I was so obsessed with listening to albums and music. And I was like, you can play instruments. That's great. But I want a more intimate experience with music. And DJing, you have another relationship with music. You know, it's a higher level of that relationship.
Nice. I absolutely love
it. Not to be cheesy, but it is.
No, that was really great, brother. And it shows your passion for music and shows your passion for DJing and how it transitions and works with you as you're, you know, rocking these crowds and really bringing a great experience for the people that are listening to you at these events, at these parties, at the, you know, at super amazing tech events you DJ at. And I think that it's super awesome for people to hear, you know, that DJing is not just something you do. It's something that you really embody. And if you really take it and use your passion in it to build something special for an environment or opportunity for you to use it as a skill set that is helping you help other people. You know, and when you make it not about yourself, but make it about the other people on the other end, that's where it's really fulfilling. And it's much bigger than just playing the music. You're really enacting and being in these people's lives in amazing ways. You know, I love your story so far. It's been really great. You know, I want to hear, you know, what are some of the things that you know now that you kind of wish you knew when you were just getting started? You know, even though I know you're pretty recent in the game, but tell me about some of the things that, you know now that, you know, when you're just getting started, it would be just good to know so that way other people don't go through the same mistakes.
On the technical level, having an amazing library of music, that's like the first thing, right? Those are the bullets to your gun. But knowing music theory helps so much, not just beat matching, but matching songs in key, tonal key. People know about the what's it called, the wheel of fifths, they call it. It really makes a difference in your mixes. When you're mixing in key, it just adds a different flavor versus just banger after banger after banger. I think developing from that, you kind of develop your own style and your own sound and stay true to that. If you're stuck playing at a top 40s bar, then play the top 40s. But when you have a gig where you're kind of like you controlling the mood, find your unique style. Don't play just for the crowd. Play for yourself, because that energy will come through. That excitement will come through. People, we're kind of like, we're monkeys. We mimic what we see. If you're bobbing your head and smiling, I'm going to bob my head and smile. So again, a cheesy answer, but stay authentic. Keep practicing, learn music theory. If you can, you can watch YouTube videos. I think that's really helpful.
That's great. I love that answer in regard to playing for yourself. I think that's super dope, because when you play for the crowd, you're actually going to think of it in a very generic way, where most DJs are also going to think as well. But if you're playing for yourself, I feel like you're going to provide a very unique experience for that crowd and that audience. So that's an awesome and interesting way to think about how you go about your sets, you know, considering just playing for yourself, and you provide a truly unique experience for the people listening, man.
And make sure you test it with a few friends or in a smaller environment. Don't go too crazy and test it out in a big crowd and you suck, because or you just bomb. Don't do that, but test and learn, try things out with your friends, record mixes, re-listen to your mixes. That helped me a lot to get better, is to re-listen to my mixes.
Gotcha, great, man. And right now we're recording this interview in 2021. So we're really deep into the COVID-19 pandemic. Hopefully we're seeing some dramatic change soon, but it's really disrupted the DJ industry and the entertainment industry as a whole. So what are some things that, you know, this, you know, situation that we're currently in has affected you in your career as a DJ?
Yeah, I mean, the obvious one are in-person events are non-existent, right? Unless you're in the underground scene and playing at warehouse parties. But it's affected everyone. And I really feel for the people that, you know, DJing was their sole source of income. You know, one thing that I have learned from this pandemic is it's really important to have a diverse source of income, not just rely on DJing, but if you can do graphic arts or other things, if you just want to be in the arts, there's so many additional things you can learn and skills you can learn in this virtual world we're living in right now. The other thing is it's kind of interesting. So to our point earlier about playing in a live setting in a venue, you kind of do still have to play to the crowd. The thing is, you can also read the crowd and you have that feedback. When I've switched to virtual, it's been good. It's been good and bad in some ways. The bad is I get kind of tired faster because I don't have that energy of the crowd. But you know, I've taken more risks with the types of songs and cross genres I've taken. Also with OBS Studio and all these free software, you can create amazing sets, endless possibilities. And you don't have to be very, very technical to put them together. And I've done stuff like that, that's taken people to a different place. And I haven't tried monetizing that yet, but I know there's subscription models on Twitch. There's lots of ways to make some money in this game, but the virtual world has allowed DJs to be way more creative and play a little bit more selfishly, play for yourself, and the right people will come in that way.
Awesome advice, man. How do you go about getting started in creating some of those virtual backgrounds and really making it a real unique experience when, you know, DJing on various platforms? You know, we have the club, which is my platform that we're using. Yeah. There's also Twitch, there's Mixcloud, Facebook, YouTube, so many different platforms that you're allowed to do this. But what do you do and how do people get started to really make the virtual experience much better?
Yeah, that's a great question. Actually, they made it really easy. Serato, the website, gives out free templates of what they call overlays and interlays. So they, for example, there's one, and these are free to download. They have backgrounds that are like enchanted forest. They have clubs. They have trippy mushrooms that change colors in front of you to a New York street, like endless. So you can create the background. You can create the foreground. My recommendation is also to have maybe a couple camera angles. So if you have a webcam and then just your laptop cam, you can be really creative with the top down view where people can see your hands. And then I think you always want to make sure they can see your face and your vibe. So there's endless creativity with very little to invest. OBS is the leading software. It's free. Takes a little bit of getting used to, but if you watch a couple YouTube videos on it, it's real easy. And then you can create your own logo on there and you can make it reactive to the music and sound, and it's really cool, and it's all free.
Wow, that's amazing. And I think that the audience is going to really appreciate you breaking it down so simply, where, you know, they have the confidence to go out and give it a shot themselves. And I think that's one of the hugest barriers. People just think it's so complicated that they don't even get started or try.
Just start, just try. And then there's like services that are free, like Restream.io allows you to stream all at once on YouTube, on Twitch, on Mixcloud, a couple other platforms, Facebook too. All at the same time. So you can just kind of throw yourself out there and see what kind of lands and what platforms. Some platforms are a little glitchy, some aren't, some have copyright stuff, but you can stream on multiple at the same time. And then a little secret is Reddit. Reddit has now Reddit sets, and there's very few good DJs on there, and there's thousands of viewers, and it's the same software for OBS you can use with Reddit, and you can get so many followers on there. So Reddit sets is another kind of lesser known platform.
Nice, dropping gems, man. I really appreciate it. Awesome, brother. And do you have any other like pieces of advice for people that are either just getting started or, you know, are in the game and they want to take their DJing skills to the next level?
You know, cheesy answer, but stay inspired. Keep reading about people you admire, watch people you admire, and, you know, take pieces of that and then incorporate into your own. But keep at it. You're doing it for a reason, and we'll get through this, you know.
Awesome, brother. What are some projects or things that you're focused on today and we can see from you in the future?
Yeah, great question. I am a psychology nerd as well, so I started writing about the neurological effects music has on us, and I started a blog called musicology.com, and I'm working with a mental health app and creating mixes for them, as well as like content on how to really use music, like meditative music, sound baths, to all kinds of playlists and things like that. And that's how I'm actually kind of getting my brand out there too. I didn't mention that actually earlier in the call, but partnering with like all kinds of sources. If writing about music, sharing that experience, I think that's a really cool avenue. So I have an article coming out and a new mix I just put on SoundCloud. It's progressive house. It's very uplifting. It may speak to some people in your audience. It may not to others, but it's beautiful world house music that I just put out. So yeah.
Awesome, man. Super excited to check it out. And do you want to jump right into the lightning round? Are you ready?
Oh, man. All right, let's do it.
Awesome. Describe your DJ setup, hardware and software.
Okay. Software is a record box, and my hardware is it's a controller. It's a the Pioneer XDJ RX2.
Besides yourself, who's your favorite DJ?
Jazzy Jeff on the hip hop side is just all time classic. Actually, Questlove too. I gotta give it up to Questlove. And then on the electronic side, I would say Cascade.
What has been your favorite party or event you've DJed at, and why?
I had a chance to play at it was like a Burning Man wannabe in the Bay Area, and it was kind of a pop-up event, and my name wasn't even on the like, it was so small you couldn't even read it on the playlist, but on the event sheet. But that was just one of the cool, you know, cool vibes. It was a genre I really liked, and it was people were camping, so it's kind of out of the city. It was a different environment. Yeah.
Who's the most interesting person you've met through DJing?
His last name is escaping me. Adam, it'll come to me. He started a school out here in Hollywood, and he teaches music production classes, and he's done some remixes. I'm forgetting his name, but I'll text it to you. But his name is Adam, his first name. He's remixed Cascade. He's done all kinds of cool stuff. And I met him through kind of the DJ scene.
What's one thing that you think is missing from live streaming for DJs?
You know what? This is another cheesy answer, but I think every DJ has a story. I think along with the visuals, like have little bit of captions about the DJ, why he's playing what he's playing, what he's going for, or kind of the style he has. Like say something about the DJ, you know, in like somehow visually to make it interesting, just so you learn more about the DJ while you're there.
And a shout out to any DJs you know personally whose story needs to be shared on this podcast.
Yeah, my teacher at that school, Blue Bear School, her name is DJ Elves, and she's been in the music industry for 20 years. She's amazing. She's a burner. She's one of the few female DJs that are really trying to make it. You know, it's harder, a little bit harder. It's a male-dominated industry, so shout out to her.
Awesome, and we look forward to hearing her stories and the stories of other DJs as well. And any DJ interested, they can sign up at djsignup.com to be on the show. And where can people find you online or even in person if you're still doing events?
I'm doing some sets on Twitch. My handle is everything.is/Zaffron Music. So I've got a Linktree/Zaffron Music. I'm on Instagram. I only got like 50 followers because I don't do social media very well. I'm trying to be organic, but I got to build up the followers. But I do streams on Twitch mostly. Awesome. And then I have my website, musicology.com, which I can kind of give you the link offline.
Wonderful. Hey, everyone, check out Zaffron. He's really doing a great job. And we really appreciate you being on the show, sharing these gems and sharing your amazing story on the My DJ Story podcast. So thank you for being here, brother.
Thank you for having me, man. Keep doing what you're doing.
Are you a DJ? Well, we want to hire you as one of our official The Club virtual DJs. We've been working hard to source hundreds of paid virtual gigs, and we need DJs of all kinds that are interested in getting paid to curate virtual events for our clients. Whether you're a new DJ just getting started or a veteran in the game, we have paid gig opportunities for you. Text I'm in to 609-201-1027 to get notified for paid gig opportunities from The Club. Tell a friend. We look forward to working with you. Now back to the podcast.